I want to start in Luke 21. And Luke 21, I want to start in verse 24. Luke 21, verse 24. The Bible says this: "And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and they shall be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled." Now, I want to mark that that is not the same as Romans chapter 11. Look in Romans 11. These are two different events. Romans chapter 11, please. Romans chapter 11, I want to start in verse 25. Romans 11, verse 25. "For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceit, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in." That is not the same as what was being said in Luke 21, verse 24. This is a mystery, and it has to do with a church that has been formed from the Apostle Paul until the rapture. So here's the saving of the Apostle Paul, Acts chapter 9, and we don't know that. That's a question mark. We don't know when the rapture is coming. Okay? What we're going to do is try to find out. Now, the times of the Gentiles started in 606 with who? From last week, come on. What event started the time of the Gentiles?
Oh, the rebuilding of the temple.
No, that didn't have to do that. It was 445 B.C. What happened in 606? The Babylon Empire, no, Israel fell, and Babylon took them captive.
Did Nebuchadnezzar destroy Jerusalem?
Nebuchadnezzar, that's the guy. He's the Babylonian king. And that happened in 606 B.C. So the time of the Gentiles started then. And Israel, in a basic sense, hadn't been in authority since 606 B.C. Y'all understand? Israel has been under the control of Gentile nations from 606 B.C. all the way, and will be until the second coming. Okay? Now, I want you to understand that it has been continuous. This time of the Gentiles, it is not the church age. Y'all understand? I'm clarifying that in verse 25, look at verse 25 again here in Romans 11. "For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this
mystery."
This is a mystery. This doesn't have anything to do with prophecy. Y'all understand? It's a mystery. The church is given to mystery. The nation of Israel is given to prophecy. That's right, William. So you've got to clarify that in your mind. Don't confuse them. Don't try to get them all mixed up in your mind. What you want to do is definitely keep them separate. And the fact that it talks about that in verse 25, "Don't be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceit." I want you to see that if it was prophetic, it would have been through the rise of Israel. Go to Isaiah. I think it's Isaiah 60 I want. I'm going to show you the difference of the mystery. Isaiah 60 and in verse 1. Now, guys, this is not Bible 101. This is like Bible 108. And if you don't get it, don't freak out. We'll go over it in another 10 years.
If we're here.
Verse 1. The Bible says, "Arise, shine, for thy light is come." Whose light?
Israel.
The thy in Isaiah 60, verse 1, the thy, you need to write it out there, you won't remember, is Israel. "And the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon thee." Who's the thee?
Israel.
"And his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and the kings to the brightness of thy" what?
Right.
So God had a plan that he would bring Israel, that's been underfoot here, and under the Gentiles, and he's going to rise them up so that the Gentiles would know that God is with them. Y'all with me? The prophecy is through the rise of Israel, God would bless the Gentiles. Right now, who's in charge? The Gentiles. Well, they're not doing that. When Israel rises up, and of course this will be over in this period of time, I put the arrow just in the idea of rising up, but didn't put it in the exact spot. Y'all understand that? Israel is under the control of the Gentile nations even today. 1948 really meant nothing. Y'all understand the form? God hadn't blessed that nation. God isn't dealing with that. They are controlled by Gentile forces. Y'all understand that, right? And so Israel is under, well, you can say a curse. They're outside of covenant. They're outside of the promise, right? They're low MI. Hosea 1 verse 9. That's what Israel is. And they've been trodden down by the Gentiles. Well, you've got to understand, it was through the rise of Israel. God had promised the rise of Israel that he would save the what?
Gentiles.
But look in Romans chapter 11 again. Now watch this. The mystery of Romans 11 verse 25 has to do with something that wasn't said in prophecy. What was said in prophecy? Through the rise of Israel, salvation would come unto the Gentiles. Through the rise of Israel. But look at Romans chapter 11, verse 11. Romans 11, verse 11. Get your Bible pen out. You're going to need it. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather through their fall, salvation has come unto the Gentiles. Did God ever say anything about Israel falling that they would bring the Gentiles?
No.
And we're dealing with this time as Israel fell and became low MI, that you have the church age taking place. How did it take place?
Through their fall.
Through their fall. As Israel fell, the church came into existence. You all understand? But what did the prophecy of Isaiah 60 say?
Through their rise.
Through the rise. So we're talking about a mystery time, not connected with prophecy. A friend of mine down in Florida are trying to mix the two together, trying to put mystery with prophecy, and he's having a hard time squeezing all the square pegs into the round hole. You can't do it. Why? There are two separate programs designed by God for two separate purposes. I mean, you know, you've got to start to understand rightly dividing. Now, going back to the colossal image, he has five basic kingdoms mentioned. One is the head of what? Gold. The chest plate, which is silver, the waist, which is brass, and iron. And iron reaches right before the cross. See how I got that? And it stretches until you get to here, which is the second coming. And I want to go to Genesis chapter 3 for just a minute. Carlton's saying, man, we're turning a lot already. Verse 15. Genesis 3, verse 15. Stay with me now. Here's the curse that he gave unto the beast. I'm going to read up a little bit if you don't mind. Verse 12. And the man said, the woman which thou gavest to me to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is it that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed from all the cattle and from every beast of the field. Upon thy belly thou shalt go, dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life, and I'll put enmity. Here's the covenant right here. I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. And it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Okay? That heel bruising is over here at the second coming. When did he bruise his head? You got it? See, you got to remember that Satan thought he was getting rid of Jesus Christ when he put him upon that cross. But there was a mystery that God had that was kept secret since the world began. And I want you to go to Romans chapter 11.
Yeah,
the serpent's going to bruise his head. That's a reference of the cross. And he's going to bruise his heel. This whole, think of this big colossus standing up. What would happen if you bruised the feet? It would fall, wouldn't it? It is top heavy, too. We're going to talk about that in just a minute. It would fall. And what are these feet made out of?
Clay,
iron, and clay. And so are they very brittle? Yeah. So God is going to destroy him at the second coming. And the reign of Satan and his false prophets will be over. Y'all understand? That's the second coming. Now, let me show you what's going to happen. Where did I tell you to go?
Romans.
I did?
Yes.
Well, I'm in Matthew. I have no idea. Romans 11. Is that where I told you?
Yes.
I have no idea. Why did I say Romans 11? Give me a second here. Jeff threw me off for a loop. I had it there and it's gone. Hey, I've been married 25 years. I don't even know who I am anymore. Wait, it gets better? Oh, fun. Oh, I can't wait. Oh, the mystery. I don't want Romans 11. I want Romans 16. Yes, you think you can throw off the master, but you can't. I'm taking all religion with half my brain tied behind my back just to make it fair. All right, that's supposed to be funny, but obviously you guys don't watch Rush Limbaugh. Romans 16, verse 25. Now watch. This is very important. This has to do with that prophecy. Now to him that has the power to establish you according to my gospel. Whose gospel? Paul's gospel. You need to write that out. Where is that gospel found? First, Acts chapter 9, verse 15, 1 Corinthians 15, Galatians 2, verse 8, Colossians chapter 2, verse 13, you know, on and on. Those are the verses you probably want by there. Now, to him that has power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the, help me out, mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. So what was ever revealed to Paul, and that goes all the way back, had been what?
Kept secret.
Now, how many here saw The Passion of Christ? Who saw the biggest error in that movie? What was the biggest error in the movie?
Satan knew that he was going to die from the sons of the world.
Yeah, at the very part when they're in the garden and Satan shows up, he acts like he knows that he's going to die for the sins of the world. No further truth could it be away from that. And I'm going to prove it to you, and the reason why that's important is when he put him on there to bruise his head, he was going for a fatal wound and killing the Messiah. Listen, if he had known that Jesus Christ was going to die for that mystery time, that little period of time we call the church age, had he known that, according to the Bible, they would have not have crucified him.
That's maybe a ridiculous question, but by killing the Lord on the cross, it's as if the thought never crossed his mind that God would raise him from the dead. It's like it was as if that would be it.
Yeah, he did think that. He did think that.
Some like Adam.
Yeah, exactly. He didn't know any. I mean, really, you think about it. That's a good, and that's actually probably a pretty good little study right there.
He let Adam's fall.
Absolutely. Listen, guys. Who is the second Adam?
The Lord
Jesus Christ. Right. We've got that in the Corinthian letters and all that. The point that I want you to understand is there is no way in that movie that that was correct. No way. He did not know. Why? He said, according to the revelation of the mystery, everybody read with me, which was kept secret since the world began. If it was kept secret and this is the beginning of the world, was it taught in the Old Testament?
No.
Was it taught in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John?
No.
Was it taught in Acts chapter 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7?
No.
No. It couldn't have been. So what was this mystery? Look in, you will, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I hope you guys are hanging with us. I'm trying to keep building. Every week we're building on this whole theme, times of the Gentiles, what's going on, and I'm going to try to get it expanded out a little bit so that we can get it. Now, all right, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Now watch this, verse 6. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world. Who are the princes of this world?
Satan.
Yeah, Satan and his angels. He's the god of this world, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, right? The god of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a, everybody,
mystery.
Even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. Who's that? Satan and his angels. For had they known it, of verse 7. You see that? The it is the mystery in verse 7. Had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So whatever was revealed to and through the Apostle Paul, had they known it, they would have never crucified the Lord of glory. But hold it, the prophecy had already been said that he was going to bruise his head, and he was going to bruise his heel. The head was a fatal wound. Guess what? Up from the grave he arose. You see, he was given the power over death. He had the keys of death and hell. And he was given the authority by Almighty God to be resurrected. But had they known this? Known what? That Jesus Christ was going to die for your sins, would they have crucified him?
No.
I guarantee you, had he known it, like in that movie, he'd have jumped on the cross and gave them CPR to keep them alive. You know that for a fact, don't you? And you know, guys, listen, people watched that movie and got all emotional, and they missed the whole point that what they saw was a mystery given only to your apostle and your teacher and preacher. I'm not your teacher and preacher. I'm just a little preacher guy. You got a teacher. You know who your teacher is? Paul is your teacher. Who's your apostle?
Paul.
Who's your instructor? Paul. Who's your example? Paul. I am not. He is. And he's telling you that they kept it secret. So you know what they did? They crucified him. And you know what Satan's thinking? Yay, yay, the wicked witch. Yay, yay. And they had no idea that 3 days later, God would give him the energy and the power to come out of that grave. And he must have flipped. Yes, he did. But then with the power of the Holy Spirit and the power of the Word of God and the power of the prophecy and the power of the mystery and the power of all that was, raised him out of hell and made him victorious over the grave. That's pretty good preaching, isn't it? Not bad for a beginner. I'm going to just get warmed up. Now watch. This is very important. Satan basically thinks he has the run of the roost now. And the church is declining. Guess what happens in A.D. 70? Titus and the Roman army. What does the iron represent? The Roman Empire. Guess who's still in authority today?
The Roman Empire.
The Roman Empire. What does the brass represent? The Greeks. The Grecians. Over here, the silver was who?
The
Media Persians. Okay? And then the Babylon Empire. Now go back to Daniel chapter 2. Now, I'm not going to go through the whole thing, but let me tell you the sum of the matter. Nebuchadnezzar has a dream. Have you all ever had a dream? How many years got up from the dream and can't remember the dream, but you kind of, you know you had a dream, but you can't remember?
Yeah, you're disturbed.
Yeah, you're like, what? I wish I could think of that. Well, that's how Nebuchadnezzar was. And so Nebuchadnezzar calls all of his soothsayers and astrologers, and they call all of them. And this is what they basically say to Nebuchadnezzar. Tell us the dream, and we will give you the interpretation thereof. And he said, but I can't remember the dream. Isn't this a lot better than just reading the Bible? Daniel and the guys get together, and they pray about it. And God gives them the dream and the interpretation thereof. Now, we're going to pick up kind of in that. Verse 31, Daniel chapter 2. Did I not say 2?
I'm trying to figure out where all of this came from. The man and the thing you can give it to. The gold, you know, and how we know silver is.
Aren't you glad you got me as your teacher? Because I have read your mind, and being the man of God that I am, I'm going to answer your question right now. All right, verse 31. Daniel 2, verse 31. You know what? If you can't have fun studying the Word, I don't know how these people go to these Auburn and Alabama football games and root and holler and can't get excited about the Word of God. That confuses me. I'm a little confused. I'm getting a little cleft here. Verse 31. Thou, O king, sawest, and behold, a great image. So now Daniel's telling them what he saw. The great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible, was frightening. The image's head was of fine gold. I would underline that if I was you. Jeff, you're about to get the image. That would be a hint for the rest of you guys too. And his arms of silver, and his belly and his thighs of brass, and his legs of iron, his feet part iron and part clay. Thou sawest till a stone was cut out with hands, that's going to be the Lord Jesus Christ, which smote the image upon his feet, as in Genesis chapter 3. What are you going to write in there? Genesis Three what? Well, you guys can talk up just a little while I'm choking, please. Y'all got that? You got to write it down. You will not remember it when you leave. You're bright people, but you're not that bright. Where it says, the stone was cut out without hand, which smote the image upon his feet, matches Genesis 3, verse 15. And break them to pieces. Then was the iron and clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together, became like the shaft of the summer threshold. And by the way, you may want to put Matthew chapter 3, verse 12. Why? Whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor. What is he going to do with the shaft? Burn it with unquenchable fire. Isn't that fascinating? Can you say fascinating? And the wind carried them away, and that no place was found for them, and the stone that smote the image became great mountain, filled the whole earth. And he will. This is the dream, and we will tell the interpretation thereof before the king. O thou, O king, are the king of kings. For God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power, and strength, and glory. And wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field, the fowls of the heaven, hath he given into thine hand, and he hath made thee ruler over them all. Thou art the head of gold. Who's the head of gold?
Babylon.
Yeah, it's King Nebuchadnezzar. And what is he? He's the king of kings, isn't he? And very important, that as the authority of God, notice that he is the head of gold, but the next one is silver. Silver is not quite as valuable as gold. As we get down to brass, brass is not as powerful as silver or gold. And so you're declining in the authority of the Gentiles the whole time. You all understand? And so Nebuchadnezzar knows that he is, but what else does he know? That there's going to be a kingdom coming behind him. You with me? He knows his kingdom's going to come to an end. He knows that he's not the only thing. And on and on. You all understand what I'm talking about? So the gold is the most precious of all that. It's the purest. And everybody feared Nebuchadnezzar. Everybody. The whole world was under his diadem, his authority. Let me tell you, everybody shook in front of Nebuchadnezzar. But then look what goes on. Verse 39. And after thee shall rise another kingdom. What? Inferior to thee. You need to underline that. It's inferior. Hey, listen, has anybody heard Iron Man? Well, you know where that came from? This metallic image, guys. Listen, we're talking about a development of an all-powerful beast that has all-controlling thing, and they just made a movie about Iron Man. How many saw that? Didn't see that it was a biblical principle, did you? Guys, listen to me. They're taking things out of here and making mockery of it, and you don't even know where it fits in the Word of God. Most people just walking around in Christianity like, oh, I guess, praise Him. They have no clue what's going on in this Bible. This room ought to be packed full, amen? There ought to be 150 people in this room. Instead, they'd rather have their sing fest, and I love music. I do. I think music is great. But man, when it comes down to knowing the Word of God, you need to get your nose in the book and study. These words mean something. And the next kingdom was going to be a little inferior. And another third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth, the Grecians. And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron. Forasmuch as iron breaketh into pieces and subdue all things, and Rome did take it, didn't they? As iron breaketh all these, shall it be break into pieces and bruised. Here's that word again. And whereas thou sawest the feet and the toes, part of potter's clay and part iron, and the kingdom shall be divided, and there shall be in it the strength of iron, for as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with mere clay. And as the toes of the feet were part iron and part clay, so shall the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. Now, why do you think they have 10 toes? The 10 kingdoms. Now, I'm not going to deal with that issue tonight, okay? But just understand that there are 10 kingdoms involved. And those kingdoms are on planet Earth right now. We're getting lined up. I honestly believe with all that's in me that the financial situation we're going through in America and the world was brought on by the world's central bank. who I believe probably represents the one world financial system. Now, you can joke me all you want, but I've got some things that I've been studying in this book, and I don't know how bad it will get. I can't predict. We're going, I hate to tell you this, but I believe we're going to go into a Great Depression. I think you better know who your friends are and stick close to them. I'm telling you. You can play all you want, but you understand that none of this stuff really matters. Yes, Hannah?
You got to learn about the Ten Commandments, too.
Yeah, well, we'll get into that one other day, but right now we're talking about ten toes. Okay? Now, listen to me very, very careful. I believe that we're in those times. Everything is set in the powers that be. Do you realize, does anybody know who actually invented the Internet?
Al Gore said he did.
No, he didn't.
Federal government.
The federal government, the Department of Defense. And do you realize that they have the authority to read every email that comes through the net?
Yeah, they say they've been doing it for years.
Now, there is no privacy. They have got us tracked to an nth degree, and you have no more freedom. You all understand that, don't you? And I'm not a conspiracy theorist. Everywhere, who carries one of these? Who carries a cell phone? Everybody here. You realize they can track every position you're in and where have you been with this phone?
GPS.
No, not even GPS. They do it through triangulation of three towers. And they can pick you within about 150 feet. All I'm trying to tell you is that they've got all the means of communication tied up. Who handles the telephone? The FCC.
When they scan you going into federal buildings, they know how much money you've got on.
They can scan the money. That's why that bar was put in there. Guys, listen, let me tell you what. Everything has been brought about that could possibly be brought about. And is coming rapidly. Now, I don't want to scare you. I'm not here to scare you. I'm just telling you that there's a limited amount of time. If time is ticking, if this is time, then years are passing for 444 B.C., was the beginning of that prophecy, and we had 7 years and 62 years, which was what? 69 years to the cutting off. Everybody with me? We did that last week, right? Let's go to Daniel 9. Just let me show you that one more time.
Terry, what was that verse in Matthew that you said specifically
about? About the fan, Matthew chapter 3, verse 12. Whose fan is in his hand, he will thoroughly purge his floor. Daniel chapter 9. And, you know, this was all brought to you by, I don't think that Jeff had any idea what he was getting himself into. Now, I want something really deep. How about that prophecy in Daniel thing? Okay. He's like going, man, I wish I hadn't even spoke up now. Verse 24, Daniel 9, 24. Carlton's even gotten gun-shy since Jeff's done that.
He thought you were going to be talking about Jeff after you checked.
Absolutely. Oh, by the way, you know how that fits in the story, don't you? Did you say no? All right. Before we read Daniel 9, the image coming down. What happens? What does Nebuchadnezzar do?
Requires everybody.
He builds the image of this metallic man, Iron Man. He builds this man up, and his weight is 666 cubits. Isn't that fascinating? 666. Isn't that fascinating? I won't get into that. And that's not really the point that I'm trying to make tonight. They stand him up and they said, look, we're going to blow the trumpets and everyone that doesn't bow down to him, I will throw into the furnace. And so Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego standing around and the trumpet goes and they don't bow down. So King Nebuchadnezzar gets frustrated, ornery. So what does he do? He cranks up the fire first 7 times hotter. So the people that opened up the furnace burned up, died. They throw them in, and they must have had a window on this thing, because they look in, and it's not just Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. There's someone else in that furnace. Hold on to here. Go to 1 Peter. Aren't you glad you got me as your teacher? Do what? I didn't hear you.
It must have been a big furnace.
It was a big furnace. Yeah, 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. And this is an example, guys. There is a lot to these stories, and you know I'm trying to concentrate on Daniel 9 in time. But it's all intermixed a little bit. You know, it's kind of hard to leave stuff out. But 1 Peter chapter 1, I want to start in in verse 5, I guess. I'm breaking in the context. Please read it for yourself. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Let me ask a question. Were Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego kept by the power of God through faith? Absolutely. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptation. Don't you know that that must have been a freaker? Well, I don't know about all that, but I ain't bowing down to that image. It reminded me of that girl that was in Caliban. Hey, if you'll deny God, you can walk away from here. But if you don't, I'm going to blow your brains out. I mean, buddy, when that comes down to it, that's a tough deal. So I don't know whether I'm going to die, but I ain't going to bow down to that image. And he cranks that fire up 7 times hotter and throws them in it. Y'all with me? That is Matthew 24, verse 13. He that endureth unto the end, the same shall be saved. It is a type of death. Did they know whether they were going to make it or not?
No.
No, but they had to be faithful unto death. As in Revelation chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. Right? Y'all do know that, right? You guys, all right, let's go to Revelation 2. Hold on to Peter here. I'm trying to clarify the picture in your mind. Verse 10. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. You see that in Revelation 2, verse 10? Don't fear anything. Should Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego fear?
No.
No. Hey, whatever the Lord, you know what? Whatever. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. But watch this. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of what? Guess what? He's going to, ready for this? They are going to be born again from the what?
Yeah.
That's the new birth. You go back to 1 Peter now. Verse 6. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through the manifold temptation. What does manifold mean?
Many.
It's like a manifold on a car. It means many. It's a manifold. You got manifolds on your cylinders. They go out to your exhaust. How many pipes do you have at the end?
One.
How many go in? Eight. Multiple. Now watch, verse 7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tried with
fire.
Boy, that matches Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, doesn't it?
Right.
Might be found in the praise and the honor at the appearing of what? Jesus Christ. Who appeared in there with them? And guess what? He will give them a crown of life. They will be born again from the dead. So far, so good? Go back to Daniel chapter 9 now. Now you know why Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is an important part of the story. They don't bow down. Can any of the Israelites bow down to this image? Can any of them take a mark of the beast? No, they have to be what? Slain so they can be born again from the dead. There are nobody walking around today that is born from the dead. We're, according to the Bible, new creatures, 2 Corinthians 5. We're all new creatures. They have to be born in. You know what? If you knew that you had to lose your life to gain it, that'd be a bummer, wouldn't it? Hold on one last verse on this single thought. Go to Matthew chapter 10. I know, you're wondering how I keep this all in my head. I don't know. It's actually pretty incredible, isn't it? Where did I tell you I was taking you? Matthew 10, that's where I was taking you. I was just testing to see if you remember. You know, there's some preachers that don't really enjoy teaching them. I love this. I mean, to me, this is it, whatever it is. Romans chapter 10, now watch, if you will. Matthew 10, that's what I meant. Just testing you again. Matthew 10, verse 38. Read with me now. Matthew 10, 38. Going on the same image, the same thought of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the same thought as in 1 Peter chapter 1, as in Revelation 2, verse 9. You should be writing these verses down because I know you're bright, but you won't remember them, I promise you. I mean, you're brilliant students, but if you don't write them down, you'll miss them. And Matthew chapter 10, verse 38. And he that taketh not his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. And that he that findeth his life by taking the mark shall what?
Lose
it. And he that loses his life for my sake shall what?
Find.
What did Matthew teach for your salvation if you were a Jew? You had to die. Verse 39 again. He that findeth his life, how could you find your life in the tribulation? How could a Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego done it? Bow down. But if you don't bow down, you're going to what? Lose your life. And then if you lose your life for his sake, you'll gain it. Daniel chapter eternally. The crown of life as in Revelation 2 verse 9 and 10. Gosh, this is good stuff.
Amen.
You can tell the old preacher's been studying just a little bit. This is good stuff, guys. This is it. If you get this stuff down, the rest of this stuff is fairly easy. Now, I'm running out of time, so let's see what I can do. Go to Daniel chapter 9, verse 24. Daniel chapter 9, verse 24. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city. Here's the things in order. 1, to finish the transgression. 2, help me out, to make an end of sin. 3, to make reconciliation for iniquity. 4, to bring into everlasting righteousness. 5, to seal up the vision and prophecy. And 6, to anoint the most holy. Now, know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem. When did that happen? Nehemiah chapter 2 happened in Nehemiah 2, 1 through 15. Y'all with me? That's when that happened. Now, you got to think about Daniel for a minute. Daniel's 80 years old, approximately. I didn't figure out his exact age, but it's 80 or something. And I want you to read Daniel chapter 1, Daniel 9, verse 1. Daniel 9, verse 1. And in the first year of Darius, the son of Artaxerxes, of the Mede, it wasn't Artaxerxes, of the Mede, which was made king over the realms of the Chaldean. Now watch. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years wherefore the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet. And by the way, that's in Jeremiah 25, 10 through 12. You all have that written in your Bible? You will need it later. 25, 10 through 12. And the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the prophet that he would accomplish 70 years of the desolation of Jerusalem. Well, guess what that is right there? That's the period of time. Daniel's at the end, and he starts to pray in Daniel chapter 9. Why is he praying? He knows how long Israel's left in that captivity. How many years, approximately? About 2 years left in that prophecy. And so Daniel starts to pray, and Daniel's chapter 9 prayer has to do with this. He's counted up the days of Jeremiah, the 70 years. All right, everybody focus. We're almost done here. Daniel is excited thinking it's over. So he starts to pray, and the Lord sends him an angel. Who's the name of the angel? Gabriel. And Gabriel comes and touches him about the evening oblation and starts to tell him about this prophecy. Now, with this prophecy, he sees an entirely different picture, doesn't he? He's now been given the information from the going forth to rebuild and restore Jerusalem unto the cutting off of Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks, 60 and 2 weeks, which is 62, for a total of 69 weeks, which is 483 years. Now, we've gone over how we get that. That was unto Messiah the Prince. Now watch, let's read it again. Verse 25. Know therefore and understand that the going forth of the commandments to restore and build Jerusalem, which was be what? Nehemiah chapter 2. Knowing therefore and understanding from the going forth of the commandments to restore and build Jerusalem, what is that? Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 1 through 15. To build Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince. When is Messiah the Prince there? When Jesus Christ rides in on the colt. Right there, right before the cross. That's in Luke 19. So there's the time there. But hold it, we're missing 1 week. Because how many weeks did he say?
70.
Well, we know that this is the end of the week because he's going to destroy this image, right, with a stone, the second coming. And so we can back up from the second coming at least 7 years. I'm going to put 3.5 and 3.5 like that. And that. Y'all with me so far? So what we've got basically is from the cross to the second coming is time a mystery. There is no prophetic, there is nowhere that you can magically put the prophecy together. except for these few verses I'm about to show you. Outside of that, there is no real understanding. You're in Daniel, back up to Hosea. Go to Hosea, which is right behind Daniel. After Daniel, it's right behind Hosea 6 and 2 Peter chapter 3. 6. Well, let me just start in verse 1 if you don't mind. Come and let us return unto the Lord, for He hath torn and He will what? Heal us. He hath smitten and He will bind us up. What does that binding have to do with? Ezekiel 37. You need to write that in your Bible right there. What is He going to do? Israel. He's going to take Israel and the other two and He's going to put them together and they'll be one again. One stick. Ezekiel 37. It talks about the dry bones and that kind of thing, right? Y'all like this? Or nah, I'm confused now. Do that. And after 2 days, well, the 2 days would be approximately there 2,000 years. How did I get that? 2 days equal 2,000. Go to 2 Peter chapter 3. Now, guys, I'm doing this without notes, so you guys got to be patient. You know, some of the stuff, I didn't write any of this down because my Bible was in the car and I couldn't find it. I did a study in another Bible and I'm transferring it in my head. 3, verse 8. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is what?
One day.
Go back to Hosea 6, verse 2. And after 2 days, He will revive us up, and in the third day, He will raise us up. By the way, raise us up, what does that remind you of? Come on. The promise of Israel in Isaiah.
The rise,
Isaiah.
And Ezekiel, the dead bones.
Yeah, the dead bones, the resurrection. It has to do, they'll be revived up. But Israel will come back into authority. What's going to happen with the times of the Gentiles? It will no longer be the time of the Gentiles.
That's the fullness of the Gentiles.
Well, not as in Romans chapter 11, but in other places it talks about the fullness of the Gentiles outside of that thought, yes. Now, after two days, He will revive us up. And in the third day, He will rise us up. Well, that third day is not even on here. That third day is what?
Thousand-year
millennial reign of Christ. And Israel will be after the order of who? And they will not die anymore. They will be born-again priests. Why was there a need to be after the order of Melchizedek?
That
priesthood will never go back in the Old Testament. What happened to the priesthood in the Old Testament? There were good priests, and then there would be bad priests that came up. But this will be the promise of Exodus. You ought to write this down. Exodus 19, 5 and 6. Go there.
Nation of priests?
Yes. Exodus 19, 5 and 6. All right. I'm going to sum up this thing because you can't go any further. Now, anybody getting a better picture of what we're talking about? Verse 5, Exodus 19, verse 5. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed, if ye, who's the ye? Israel, will obey my voice and keep my covenants, then shall you be a peculiar treasure unto me above all the people, for all the earth is mine. What was the promise of Isaiah 60? Through the rise of Israel, the Gentiles will come unto the Lord. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests, as in 1 Peter chapter 2, as Hebrews chapter 7, 8, and 9. And you need to write that in your Bible, boys and girls, because I can assure you your brains are brilliant, but you will not remember it. What? See, you've already forgot. By verse 6, you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests, 1 Peter chapter 2, really 1 through 8 there, Hebrews chapter 7, 8, 9, and 10. Notice, and a holy nation. It did not say, and there'd be holy nations.
1 Peter 2, 1 through 8.
1 Peter chapter 2, 1 through 8. And Hebrews chapter 7, Hebrews 8, Hebrews 9, Hebrews 10 talks about the priesthood. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of what?
Israel.
All right, so what am I saying? all of this time has been definitely fulfilled. You got it? We are definitely into the iron dominion, right? We know that it's approximately been 2,000 years from the cross. It's what? 2008. Did we miss it? No. There's a couple things that you got to take in consideration. Back over here, we counted our days as 360-day years. Why?
It went by a lunar calendar, right?
Well, yeah, but Israel counted by what? A prophetic calendar. So we had to switch from a solar calendar to a thing. Well, back over here, when it's the time of the Gentiles, guess how many days we deal with? You with me? Now, here's the other thing that's involved here, is there is a mystery about the period of time between the cross and the calling of the Apostle Paul. Okay? There is a piece of mystery that is spoken of in Matthew 13, and that's where we're going to pick up next week.
So you say that 2,000 years started at 9?
Or when was it there?
I'm just going to lay out the possibilities.
Yeah, okay.
That's all I'm going to do, is lay out the possibilities. Do I know definitely what I believe? I've looked at it multiple ways. All I can tell you is no matter how you slice it, listen to me very carefully, no matter how you slice it, we are close. Okay? How do I know that we are close to this end period that the rapture would happen?
Because there's not much more time for the 2 days.
Yeah. The 2 days are almost up in Hosea, right? Number one. What else? Paul says there's going to be a great falling away from the faith. Look at this church. How many churches do you think on Wednesday night are teaching stuff like this?
No.
Nobody even cares anymore. They go, la, 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 let's pray, hold hands, la, 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 and nobody have a clue what's going on. Amen? There's a great falling away from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. That's what 1 Timothy says. So I know that that's happening in the church age. You know how many people actually in America claim to go to church at all anymore? 32%. 20 years ago, it was 47. What's happening? A falling away. You know, they all, Oral Roberts and all those people called for a big revival. Do you remember that? Oh, well, let's pray up a revival. God's going to revive us. That's not what God said. God said there'd be a great falling away from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Then Paul warns us of people preaching signs and wonders and miracles. Guess what's predominant now in the Christian faith? Isn't that fascinating? Everything that could possibly be here, we are there. Now, whether we're down to 4 years or 5 years, let's say we're down to 60 days. Let's say we're down to that. How would you live your life different? Would you be here on Sunday? Would you be here every Wednesday? I bet your attitude would change if you really believed it was the end of your life and the end of the earth as we knew it today. You would act differently. Your concerns would be different. Your focus would be different. I guarantee you that's a fact. And you know what? Listen, let me tell you what. We're going to narrow it down to some days how we can do that. Hey, it may be still 10 years away. But you know, that isn't very far in the scheme of things. Amen? Well, even compared to the 2,000 years, we're down to the end of it. We're going to deal with Paul's deal of the end times. Then I'm going to lay on some mix of prophecy and things so you can overlay. What have we done now? We've taken the prophecy of Daniel and we overlaid the colossal, right? Next thing I'm going to do is going to be taking the feast days. And we're going to overlay this chart with the feast days. And then we're going to overlay it with other things that we know of until we can start to define the time. You know what it really shows me? We're at the end of the time, guys. You're the men of God that God has encountered with the mystery of God, and you ought to take your work seriously. You ought to focus on what you're doing in your life and be a minister to the people around you. If you really want them saved, you quit goofing off with all the stuff that you're fooling around with and start to do the work of the ministry and be edifying to the body of Christ. We need to pour it on, if you will, and get out there and talk to people. You know what? There are many people in this room and hearing my voice on the internet that have loved ones that if that day of the rapture comes, the calling out of the church in a moment, in the twinkle of an eye, when it happens, they're going to be left behind and there'll be no hope for them. And all that God will do will bring them a strong delusion, according to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and will cause them all to be damned who believe not the truth. That's what the Bible says. And you know what? Listen, let me tell you what. I don't take it Not seriously. God has put on our shoulders to teach faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. And you guys need to get on with it and get your life set on to the course of giving God the glory and honor for the things He's done in your life. Say, well, I'm not worthy. Baloney. There ain't anybody in here that's worth the gunpowder to blow them into hell. If we're all saved, we're saved by the grace of God and the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
People are playing church. How many here have been to another church and you've seen them play church? That's right. Big joke, you know. Let's have a Christmas party. Well, come on and eat hot dogs with us on our movie night. But you know what? We're not taking away from preaching for some silly Christmas carol. We're going to preach the Word of God until the time when the Lord shall shout with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. I can tell you that for a fact, we're down to the days of counting. You know, if it was 10 years off, you know how many days that would be? That's not very many days. It's 10 years. And you know what? I would put this into you. I doubt it's 10 years. I don't believe it's 10 years. But if it was 10 years, you'd only have 3,650 days left in your life. What do you want to be caught doing? That's not many days. There's a Christian song that talks about 10,000 days. That's 30 years, basically. And you know what, guys? No matter how you slice it to the end, we're coming to the end. And I believe the Christian church is all caught up in the world. I believe they're all caught up in the world. And you know what? I don't believe there's very few people who really care about knowing this Bible anymore. It's tough. What would you think if I went and taught this at some church? Maybe your church or your old church. What would they think? They would think, man, you're an idiot. Who are you? Guys, I appreciate you letting me preach 10 minutes over. And since it was my anniversary, I'm taking my 10 minutes and I'm leaving and going to eat some cake. Good night, guys.